Good morning. Good morning to all of you, and a very blessed and happy Mother's Day to all of our mothers here. As is becoming, I guess, the tradition, Daniel asked me to speak on Mother's Day, and I'm not a mother in the natural, but it's an honor for me to share with you this morning. And it seems every year the Lord lays a woman on my heart from Scripture, and this year it's not different. Last year we looked at Rahab. I don't know if you remember that, but we looked at Rahab. But the Lord laid a certain mother on my heart from Scripture. And she was a woman who had a very difficult life. She passed through tremendous loss. And in the midst of her darkest hours, she put her assurance in God. She was a woman of tremendous trust and faith in God. And she's not named specifically in Scripture. And if you've ever studied the women in the Bible, and I guess that I'm sure it's the same for men, but there's some women who are recorded, but their names are not given to us, such as the Syrophoenician woman and Manoah's wife. And there's quite a few others that we don't know their names, but yet they stand out in Scripture. And this is one of those women. And she's only known as the widow of Zarephath. The widow of Zarephath. And I want to talk about this widow this morning. She was a widow, but she was also a mother. And I just like to open with prayer really quick. Father, we're just so thankful for your presence here. And Lord, we just want to hear your voice speaking. And Lord, I just pray that you would quicken these words in our hearts, that you would encourage and strengthen your people today as only you can, Father. Just breathe your life and let your spirit flow in our midst. And may you be glorified and honored in our midst, we ask in your name. Amen. Just to give you a background about this woman, I know maybe her name doesn't sound familiar, but once I get into the story, if you don't know who she is, you will know who she is. Her story is recorded in 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 9 through 24. As I said, her name is not mentioned. Her lineage is not mentioned. The only thing we know about her is that she is a widow and a mother. We're not told what happened to her husband, but we understand that she passed through terrible loss. And it was during a time of famine, and she alone had to care for herself and her son. And it seems from Scripture that he was young, because she was doing most of the work. And as we're going to look at later, he was sick, and she held him in her arms. So she may have been a young widow. She was alive during the ministry of Elijah, the prophet of the Lord. And it was a difficult time in the nation of Israel because Ahab was the king. And we know that he is one of the most wicked kings who ever reigned, not only because of himself, but he had a wife who was extremely wicked, Jezebel, and she stirred him up to do even more wickedness. And so it was a difficult time, and because of his wickedness, the Lord declared through the prophet Elijah there would be no rain for 3.5 years. And so it's interesting that to consider that this was a God-ordained judgment upon the nation, but the righteous were also feeling the effects of this famine, of this drought. And so here we see Elijah, God miraculously taking care of him, but also this widow woman, as we'll see in a moment. And so it's at this point in the history of Israel that this woman shines forth during the midst of this dark and difficult time. And we know that's so often true in Scripture, isn't it? That during the darkest and most difficult times, the Lord comes forth and his glory shines. And we see his glory upon this obscure woman who I'm sure she didn't feel like anyone cared about her or was looking out for her. But God saw her. And God saw her. And so we know about Elijah that he performed 7 miracles, and 2 of them were with this widow woman. And I think that's significant. And I want to look at 3 parts of her life. This mother, this widow, I want to look at her obedience, her trust, and her faith in God. Her obedience, her trust, and her faith in God. Now, after Elijah spoke the word of the Lord to Ahab and said, "The Lord said, there's not going to be any rain in the land for 3.5 years. The Lord said to Elijah, go to the brook Cherith and I'll take care of you there. The water will, you can drink the water and I will send ravens to feed you. Now, what do you think about that? The ravens would come and give him bread and food, seed, I'm not sure. And so the Lord miraculously provided for him. But eventually, the brook dried up. because after a time with no rain, there was no water flowing. And so when the brook dried up, the Lord speaks to him to do something else. And this is where we see the widow woman. If you can look on the screen, 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 9. And this is the Lord speaking to Elijah. He said, "Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongs to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." And I think this is so interesting because in Scripture, it's normally the duty of others to take care of widows, isn't it? But here, God is commanding this widow to take care of his prophet. And I think that's a remarkable thing. And it was a tremendous, she must have been such a tremendous woman for the Lord to choose her to take care of his prophet. And let's read this story in 1 Kings chapter 17. I'm going to read verses 10 through 16. "So he arose and went to Zarephath." Now, mind you, this woman was not a Jewish or Israelitess. "And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks." And he must have understood from the Lord, this is the woman. "And he called to her and said, 'Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I might drink.' And as she was going to fetch it, he called her and said, 'Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand.' And she said, 'As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I might go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die.' And Elijah said unto her, 'Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me therefore a little cake first, bring it unto me, and make for thee and thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth.' And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake to Elijah." And, you know, I just think this is such a beautiful story and testimony of this woman. You know, she was a stranger to Israel, but here she said, you know, according to the Lord thy God that he lives, this is all I have. This is all I have. So there was a heart in her that knew and understood the God of Israel, that understood Elijah was the prophet. And she received him and she accepted his word. And she had such a tender heart of obedience to do what he asked her to do. And I think her obedience was a sacrifice. And I believe it was no less remarkable than the sacrifice of Father Abraham. You know, we often talk about Abraham and the tremendous sacrifice and giving his son upon the altar. But here, the Lord is requiring of this woman nothing less than the sacrifice of herself and her son, and preparing the last of her food, and to give it to Elijah first, trusting that the Lord is going to provide for her too. You know, that was the only means of survival they had left. They had nothing left. And yet here Elijah was asking for the last of what she had, and she gave it. What a tremendous woman. What tremendous obedience and faith that she had. And you know, I want to look at this thought of obedience for a moment, because sometimes it's a sacrifice to obey, and sometimes there's a suffering involved to obey. In Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 through 9, we see a prophetic glimpse into the life of Christ. And it says in verses 8 through 9, "Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him." And so here, you know, it doesn't mean that the Lord was disobedient, but the Father had a will for him to fulfill and a plan, and it wasn't easy. You know, Jesus had a human nature. He struggled. He understood what it was like. We see that in the garden. He struggled to do the will of the Father, and he cried out to him, "Not my will, but your will be done." There was a suffering, a tremendous suffering, and pressure involved to obey the will of his Father. The pressure was so great that he bled, you know, drops of blood just through his sweat. And even Paul reminds us, you know, we haven't faced pressure to that point, but Jesus has, and he can strengthen us and help us to obey, even though it may require a suffering. And for this woman, there was a suffering involved to obey. But here we see it says that Jesus learned obedience through the things he suffered, and he became perfect, and he became the author of our eternal salvation to those who obey him. to those who obey him. And so those who are willing to obey, even at great cost, they're precious to him because they're like him. And he will be their savior. He will be their deliverer. And he will be their provider. And I think not only was this widow woman obedient, but like Father Abraham, she was quick to obey. There were no questions asked. There was no debate. There was no discussion of, well, how's this going to work out? Well, I don't know. She just honestly said, I just want you to know this is all I have. And he said, do it. She said, okay. I think that's tremendous. But, you know, she was quick to obey. And what an amazing testimony. You know, she didn't know this man personally. She obviously had heard of him. But she had a witness in her heart that this was a man of God. And she learned to trust that the Lord was her provider, that the Lord was her husband, and that he would take care of her. And, you know, I've seen that in these women recently who have become widows, you know, like Joni and others, that there's such a beautiful trust that they have with the Lord that they never had before, that he is their husband, he is their provider, and he will take care of them. And it's so beautiful. You know, to go through such loss is terrible. But oh, the depths of the love and the glory of God in those places, and how he lifts them up and cares for them. And here we see this woman, she's trusting that God will take care of her. And so she obeyed. But I also want to look at this thought of trust. You know, she trusted. And you know, I was thinking, we really can't obey without a certain measure of trust. There has to be a measure of trust, especially when God is asking us to do things that we don't understand, or that the end is not clear. How do we then obey? It's because we trust him, because we know he is good and he will care for us. And you know, this widow woman, she didn't understand how it was going to work out, but she trusted that God had sent Elijah to take care of her. And if she had not obeyed, if she had not trusted, the miraculous would have never happened. And often for the miraculous to flow, we have to come to this place where we're at the end of ourselves and we have to let go and trust and obey what God is saying. This word trust in the Greek has the thought of being persuaded or convinced. But even more has the thought of relying on, having confidence in. And I believe in my heart that God wants to bring us to a greater measure of trusting him. Of trusting him with our lives, with our money, with our talents, with our marriages, with our children, with our ministry, with our future, which is sometimes can seem so uncertain. He cares for us. And we can trust him with these things. We don't have to carry them. We don't have to let them burden us down. But the Lord wants to take these things so that we don't have fear. When we have fear, it's because we're not trusting. When we have anxiety, it's because we're not trusting. And he's so worthy to be trusted. He's so worthy. It is one thing for God to speak to us, but to obey him, we have to trust in him. And I feel that this is so important for the days that are coming. You know, this widow woman is living in a day that the church will be in when we will need to cry out to God to provide for us and to take care of us. And we must learn to trust and to obey no matter what God may say. Because that will be the means for him to provide for us and for the miraculous to flow. I want to read a few scriptures about trust. In Psalm 37, verses 3 and 5, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily you will be fed. Commit your way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. In Psalm 37, verses 39 through 40, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble, and the Lord shall help them. He will deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man brings a snare, but whosoever puts his trust in the Lord shall be safe. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 9 through 10, and here Paul is speaking. He said, but we have the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver, and whom we trust, he shall yet deliver us. You know, we want God to develop this trust in our lives, and it will come as we pass through many different experiences. And normally it will be difficult experiences or things that we don't understand, things that we are unclear. But he wants us to learn this trust, like this widow of Zarephath. The widow woman trusted at God and gave all that she had, and it wasn't much, but God increased it. And this miracle sustained the widow, her son, and Elijah through the remaining part of that 3.5 years. I'm not sure how long Elijah was by the river, but he was with this widow woman for quite a long time. And obedience and trust are powerful. There are powerful things in our lives, and they're the means for God to do something miraculous. You know, often obedience can bring breakthroughs in our lives and break bondages. And as we trust in God, he can flow in our lives because we're letting go and we're letting God take control. You know, we have to let go of control. Trust can't happen if we're trying to take control, but we have to let go. You know, this reminds me of another widow woman that Jesus was watching one day in the temple. And her testimony was so great. And you know, I don't know if many people saw it, but Jesus saw. He saw this woman and he brought her what she did to the attention of the rest of the disciples. And let's read that in Mark chapter 12, verses 41 through 44. It says, "And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. But there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which makes a farthing. And he called unto his disciples, and he said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow has cast in more than all they that have cast into the treasury. For they all cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Now a farthing is worth 1 penny. That's all she had to her name. A farthing, I was looking it up in the dictionary. It's often used as an expression. It's not even worth a farthing. It means it's worthless. It's meaningless in the eyes of men. But in the eyes of God, it was precious. It represented everything that she had. You know, the Lord only asks 10% of our tithe. Or a tithe, 10% of our finances. But this widow gave 100%. And that was so precious. It was worth more to Jesus than all the rich who had cast in of their abundance. And it was precious. And you know, someone had a vision of heaven and they were looking at the different mansions. And there was one that stood out in glory. And he asked the angel who was with him, whose mansion is that? And he said, that's the widow woman who gave her last 2 mites. You know, one time I was with my dad and Danelle, we're out in the boat, and my dad's like, look at all these beautiful homes. Because there's beautiful, huge homes on the ocean. And I said, oh, Dad, let's wait to eternity and see what our home is like. It doesn't matter what these people have on earth. It matters little to God, even how much we give. But it's our heart. It's our heart in giving. And here this woman, she didn't have much, but it was everything she had. And it was precious. And you know, this thought of giving, even our tithe, it's an aspect of trust. It's an aspect of trust, of giving to God the first 10%, because you're saying, Lord, I trust you. I'm giving to you and I'm trusting you will give back to me and you will provide for me. And when we do that, the Lord begins to build an eternal home for us, like this widow woman. We want to keep our eyes on the true investment in eternity. And so this widow of Zarephath, going back to this widow, you know, she had no thought of herself or even of her son. If she'd had a selfish, hard heart, she would have never given to her last to Elijah. Never, never, never. You know, it's interesting. Hearts are truly revealed in times like that. And if you ever watch or read about stories about people in the Holocaust and concentration camps, the true nature of people, it comes out. Because we do have a wicked nature inside of us without God. And when you're in those difficult places and you're starving, you have nothing, it's our natural tendency to become very selfish and to even push other people down so we can have what we need. And here we see this widow woman in her time of desperation gave and was obedient. And because of that, God did a miracle. You know, I read a story about Corrie Ten Boom and her sister Betsy, and they were in the concentration camp. And one of their family members sent them a bottle of liquid vitamins. And Corrie was so thankful because Betsy hadn't been feeling very well. And she said, this is what we need to sustain us through our time here, because they weren't obviously getting very good food. And Betsy said to her, how can we keep it to ourselves? When we're ministering, because they were ministering to the ladies there, she said, how can we keep this to ourselves? And Corrie said, but if we don't, we won't have enough. And she said, but how can we be selfish? And so they would have all the ladies line up around them, and they'd give a drop to each person. And you know, they did it day after day after day. It never ran dry. Until the time came when another bottle arrived to them. But I want to ask you, do you think that miracle would have happened if they had kept it for themselves? No. And so there's an aspect of trust and obedience. We want the miraculous to flow, but we have to let go and trust in God so that these things can take place in our lives. And I want to encourage you to trust in God, to take care of you, that He loves you, and that even as He sustained these widow women and sustained Corrie and her sister and these ladies in the concentration camp, He will sustain you and He will take care of you. And so we see this heart in the widow of Zarephath to give. And I want to look at one last part in this woman's life, one last thing, that she was a woman of faith. And as I mentioned, there were two miracles that Elijah did that involved this woman. And this was his third notable miracle. It was in the life of this woman, and she went through another loss. And let's read that in 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 17 through 24. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said to Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Are you come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? And he said unto her, give me your son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. And he said, Lord, or he said to the Lord, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried to the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come back into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came back into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son lives. And the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is true. And so here the woman had already lost her husband, and during this difficult time, she lost her son. And I think for a mother, I don't know if there's anything more devastating than losing a child. But when the child died, of course, she was in grief. And she said to Elijah, what can you do? What can be done? And there's something so precious about the heart of a mother. And I remember Pastor Bailey saying this. He said, there's something about the heart of a mother. She never gives up. She never gives up. And it's so true. A mother does not give up easily. And that's precious in the sight of God. And this widow woman, she didn't give up, but she came to Elijah, and God moved and raised her son from the dead. You know, it reminds me of a story Pastor Bailey used to share about a mother who had a daughter, and her daughter was born with some kind of disease. She was crippled. But the Lord gave her a promise that He would heal her daughter. And so time went on, and the daughter became a teenager, and she was still crippled, and she became sick, and she died. And this little girl went to heaven, and she was perfectly whole in heaven, and she was with the Lord, and the Lord was sharing wonderful things with her, and she was enjoying it very much. And then after a time, He turned to her, and He said, you have to go back. And she said, I don't want to go back. She said, I'm happy here. I'm whole here. I'm healed here. And He said, you have to go back. And she said, why? He said, because your mom is praying. And she looked down and she saw her mom in the bedroom next to her body. And her mom was saying this, Lord, you promised. Lord, you promised. You promised you would heal my daughter. And he said to this girl, he said, I promised your mom, and I have to send you back. And the little girl said that all of a sudden his face got really angry, and he looked down and pointed to her body, and he said, Satan, let her go. And immediately her spirit went back into her body, and she raised up, and she was perfectly whole. The Lord completely healed her, and Pastor Billy said that the resurrection power was so strong on her that she walked on her tiptoes for weeks. It was like she was lifted up. But see, the heart of a mother, the heart of a mother, she didn't give up. And we see that in the woman of Zarephath. You know, it says in Hebrews 11:35 of the heroes of faith, one of the things he says is women receive their dead raised to life again. Those women, and the widow of Zarephath is one of them, she's a hero of faith because she believed and God raised her son from the dead. You know, and we do serve the resurrection and the life. And here the widow woman of Zarephath experienced the resurrection and the life by the raising of her son. You know, scripture mentions this woman one other time. Jesus talks about her. In Luke chapter 4, verses 25 through 26, he says, But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a widow, a woman that was a widow. And so here the Lord is, you know, she's not even named. But he talks about her again. He said, there were many widows in Israel, but none were worthy. But this woman who was a stranger, she was worthy. She was worthy to take care of her, his prophet. And she was worthy to receive the blessedness of this miracle, to be sustained, to be taken care of, to receive her son alive again. She was found worthy because she had a heart that trusted in God. In Nahum chapter 1 and verse 7 says, The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows them who trust in him. He knows them. He sees them. His eye is upon them, and his heart longs to meet with them. Oh, the Lord longs for us to trust in him like this widow woman, to set our eyes upon him so that he could come and move in our lives. Oh, he knows those who trust in him. And the testimony and the life of this widow woman is something we need to take heed of. She's an example to us, especially for the days we're coming into. You know, as it was in the days of Elijah, it will be in our day. The Lord made that very clear, that he won't come again until his messenger Elijah, that message comes forth. And so this woman, she's an example to us of how God can take care of his people. She was a woman in the wilderness on her own. And we know that the church will be a woman in the wilderness, in one sense on her own, but yet God will see her because she trusts in him and he will take care of her. Miraculously, he will take care of her, but we must trust in him and obey him. And so I just wanted to share this woman with you. I really learned so much studying her life and I admire her and I hope I see her in heaven one day. But what a woman of faith, what a woman of trust and of obedience. And so on this Mother's Day, I just want to encourage you ladies with this woman who trusted in God, who didn't give up even when it seemed hopeless. And she trusted in God and he met with her and met her needs. Amen. Amen.